Good afternoon, everybody. So today we're going to talk about a shaila that... I'm muted. Let's try that again. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going to talk about a shaila that comes up more often than you might think, and that is the issue of moving a body to a different cemetery, and what happens when that what happens with the family as far as Hilchos Avelos is concerned when that happens. So some might think that this doesn't come up all that often. Trust me, it does, and it happens for a couple of reasons. One is that sometimes you have people who were buried long ago. Let's say one spouse predeceases the other spouse by many, many years or decades, and by the time the second spouse passes away, the family could afford to have kavura in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe the whole family had made aliyah at that time, and they want to bury the spouse who died later in Eretz Yisrael, and then they would like to have both spouses together, so they want to move one next to the other. That's what happened with my grandparents. My grandfather predeceased my grandmother by about 4 or 5 decades, and he was originally buried in New Jersey, but then by the time when my grandmother, Allah Shalom, passed away, so we wanted to move my grandfather to Eretz Yisrael, and we did. So, and it's also happening in the aftermath of the coronavirus, that a lot of people during the COVID pandemic, when it was just so many people that had to be buried so quickly, and there were so many restrictions and limitations on what can be done, and people couldn't be moved to Eretz Yisrael. Some people couldn't even make it to Kavura in New Jersey. You know, there were such backups. So there were a lot of people that were buried in less than the ideal spot for them, and the shaila became, now can we move them? So what we'll discuss today is not so much can we move them. We'll just quickly summarize. That appears in Yerodei Asim and Shin Samach Gimel, that you can move a body when you have one of the following 5 factors. Either you're moving toward to Kever Avos, that the person is buried not in Kever Avos and you're moving toward Kever Avos, or the person was accidentally buried in a non-Jewish cemetery and you want to move them to a Jewish cemetery, or the cemetery is being disgraced in some way or another. I believe that they did this in Gush Katif, when the Israeli government gave back parts of Eretz Yisrael, so they have to, the Arabs are for sure going to disgrace the cemetery if they're given control over those areas. So in order to prevent the disgrace of the cemetery. Fourth is to move to Eretz Yisrael. Shulchan Aruch's Mefurash. To move to Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to move a body. And fifth is if the kavura was al tanai, and they were doing that a lot during COVID, where they did a kavura al tanai to move later. But what I want to discuss mostly today is not so much if you're allowed to do it, because these are the exceptions when you are allowed to do it, but rather the halach in Hilchos Avelos as far as what happens in Hilchos Avelos to the family, because a lot of people are unfamiliar that there are, even are such halachos. So it's the very last siman in Hilchos Avelos, siman Taf Gimel in Yerodei. It's based on the Gemara Ma'id Katan Daf Ches, where the Gemara says that someone who's malakate atzmos av v'imo, someone collects the bones of his mother or father, hareze misabel aleihem, they should practice Avelos kol ayom, the entire day of the Likud Atzmos, ule erev ein misabel aleihem. And then that evening, the Avelos is already over. So the Ramban writes, as does the Rosh and Siman Yud over there, that it's not only av v'imo, it's shar krovim as well, whereas the Ritva says, no, Pirush Midrabanan the Kvod of Vi'imo, that the reason for this Avelus is a Dindrabanan Mishum Kvod of Vi'imo. If that's the case, then it would not apply to other relatives. It would only apply to Avivimo. L'chora, according to the Rosh and the Ramban, why is it that the Gemara says Avivimo, if after all it applies really to everybody? So in the Tel Chaim, he says that Agavorcha Kamashmel Rameir, that you're allowed to be Malakir Atzmos Aviv, unlike Shitas Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Mesechasmach, that you're not allowed to even be malakid atzmos aviv-imo. That's why it gives the example of aviv-imo. But the din of avelus, that applies by any krovim. So if a person is being moved, if a body is being moved, the person, all the zayin krovim would have to be misabel on the day that they're moving the body. The Gemara says that even if they're tzuros lo besadino misabel aleim, even if the bones are all fully protected in a bag, you still have to do avelus. And Rashi writes that the Chiddush is that even though they're wrapped in a bag and you're not being malakate the bones, you don't have to pick out bone by bone, and you didn't actually see the bones, still it warrants an avelus. Tosos on the spot writes that the Chiddush is Surah Sol B'Sadino, and they're not yet buried, you're not misabel the following evening, meaning that the chiddush is that even if you haven't reburied the remains on that same day, the avelus still ends by that evening. The avelus does not continue into the next day. So this makes it is an anomaly in hilchos avelus. Normally in hilchos avelus, the avelus begins at the kvura. Over here, the avelus begins when they pull the body out of the ground, and the avelus is over very often before the kvura, right? When they move a body to Eretz Yisrael. So let's say on a Tuesday morning, they're going to dig up the body and they're going to catch the flight to Israel Tuesday night. By Tuesday night, by the time the family's on the plane or whoever's going with the body is on the plane, the avelus is already over, even though the body's not going to be buried until the next day, because the day of the avelus is the day of the Likut HaTzamos, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch Pasul and Siman Tov Gimel Si'if Aleph, that the avelus does not continue into the day of the kvura. It's on the day of the Likut HaTzamos. The Aruch HaShulchan Sepeh says that we're not malaki tzamuch l'shecha, that's only by Aviv V'ima, that's not by Ashar Krovim. Why would we say that you're not malaki tzamuch l'shecha late in the day only by Aviv V'ima? Maybe it's because it would be considered a zilzal of the parents if you don't have any avelus for them. So if you're going to do it late in the day where the day's almost over and there's not much time to be misabel, so you could do that by other krovim, so because it's no big deal if you're not misabel. But by Aviv V'ima, maybe it's a bigger deal. Now, there is a discussion whether there's any aninus at the time of Likud HaTzamos. Nimukei Yosef and Tazvavim Beis B'dabe Arif writes that we're not misabel b'dini avelus, but you're misonin and it's also b'achilus kodshim. That Beis Yosef, however, rejects the Nimukei Yosef, and he says that all of the poskim write this din, that there's a din of avelus, and if it's only nogea t'achilus kodshim, it shouldn't have been brought in halacha at all. The poskim don't quote halachas relating to achilus kodshim, because we don't have a basement, we don't have kodshim, there's no eating kodshim anyway. So if the whole din was only a din of aninus legabe achilus kodshim, it wouldn't have made it into poskim to begin with. The Rosh in the third parak of Moed Katan in Siman Nun Vav quotes from the Rav Muttenberg that calls man that the mace has not been buried. You have all the dinim of aninus as far as the isra of drinking wine and eating meat, and then after the kvura, all the dinim of avelus are chal until that evening. However, the Rosh himself disagrees with that, and he says no, there's no din of aninus at all. So again, this is it's anomalous. This is different than normal dine avelus. Normally, someone dies up until the kvuri of aninus. By aninus, there's no meat, there's no wine, there's no eating kachim. You have certain restrictions of aninus, and then after kvura, you have avelus. Over here, while the Maram Rutenberg wanted to suggest that there's such a similar thing, we paskin like the Rosh that it's not that way. That when the person is out of the ground and not yet buried, there's no aninus, only avelus, and the avelus ends very often before they're even reburied in the ground, before they're even buried at all. Rav Salvechik in Shiurei Arav in Siman Mem Aleph on avelus suggests that the machlokas between the Maram Rutenberg and the Rosh is whether he's considered that whether the person is considered meso, it's considered your dead body, your dead body that's associated with the relative when he's already been buried one time. That the Rosh holds that once the person has been buried once, it's no longer considered meso. What do I mean meso? The halacha that we call aninus, the patur for mitzvos, is what the Mishnah calls meso mutal lefanav. That a person's meso, his own mace, is mutal lefanav. So says Rav Salvechik, maybe once there's already been a kvura one time, there's no din of meso mutal lefanav because they don't have a shame meso, and mimela there's not going to be aninus. Whereas the Maram holds that it is called meso even after it's already the person's already been buried once, and therefore if you're malakid atzamos planning to bury them a second time, it's mamish mesa mutal lefanav, and you're going to have a din of aninus. However, he says, it's hard to imagine that that's really the machlokas, because the Rama writes that there's no aninus by malakid atzamos, which would seem to imply that it's no longer called meso, and yet the Rama in Shinayin Gimel Sivav paskins that even though a kohen cannot be metame to a relative after stimas agolel, meaning we know the halach is that a kohen is allowed to be metame to the zayin krovim, but once the person has already been buried, then the kohen is not allowed to be metame to the relative anymore. But says the Rama, if he plans on moving the body, he can be metame to him letzorech the moving of the body. Why can the kohen become tame to him letzorech the moving of the body? It must be because it's considered meso. If it wasn't considered meso, then the kohen would not be able to be metame to him. So therefore, it says Rav Salvechik, it must be that the svara of the Rama is that he is called meso even after the person has been buried once. It's just that we're not noeg dine aninus by malakin etzamos, because dine aninus and dine avelus are tarti desasri, they're a contradiction to each other, and therefore, since we have a din that you have to be noeg dine avelus, memeli you're not going to be noeg dine aninus. What about kriya? What about tearing kriya again? So in Evel Rabasi, Perikid Beis, it says that anyone who's koreal of b'shas misaso, you're also koreal of b'shas likaratzamos. Any of the relatives that you tear kriya for, when they die, you would also tear kriya at the time of likaratzamos, and would follow the same rules of kriya. In fact, Shulchan Aruch paskins this in Taf Gimel Si'if Beis, Yardei Taf Gimel Si'if Beis. In the Chuvus Maril Diskin in Kuntras Achron, Os Reish, he has a safek: if you did not tear kriya at the time of the likaratzamos, do you still have to tear kriya the next day? And he brings out, he's certainly not to be misabel the next day. The question is, do you have to tear kriya the next day? And he brings a raya from Reb Meir, who allowed being malakid atzmo sav v'imo an yom tov. Now the Rama holds in Simon Shin Mem Sav Lamed Aleph that you're not korea b'moed. So by being malakid atzmos b'yom tov, you're being mafkia the mitzvah kriya l'kavod aviv. So the fact that you're being mafkia the avelus is not a big deal, because it's simchas haregel overpowers the avelus. But what about being mafkia the mitzvah kriya? So it must be, says the Maril Diskin, that kolzman that you're still wearing that beged, you could still be korea even after the day is already over. So you could be korea achara moed as well. I don't believe that's a practice. Meaning, I think what is most common practice is that we don't let the family know when the likarat samos is going to be, and therefore they only find out at a later date. And since by the time they find out, the avelus is already over. They don't observe avelus. So lechor according to Maril Diskin, but they should still have to tear kriya. But nevertheless, we assume not that way, that they don't tear kriya either when they find out. The Yerushalmi is quoted by the tour that there's no shmua for likud atzamos, meaning normally by avelus there's such a din that if you find out a shmua krova shortly after the person dies, you find out that a relative dies, you still observe avelus starting from the shmua, but there's no din of shmua by likud atzamos. If you find out the next day, there's no avelus at all. That's what the Mechaber Paskins in Simon Tav Gimel Sif Hei Pischei Tshuva and Sif Karnal of course from Chassam Sofer and Simon Shinun Gimel, that we should make a takana that not to be modia shum adam that it came time that on the day of the Pinoy Atzamos Krovav, on the day that they moved the bones of their relative. Why? It's a gemilas chasadim that the Torah is chasa al Yisrael, the Torah is rachmanus on the Jewish people, and bittles maneim, they shouldn't have to waste their time in avelus, that let them not know about it, let them find out about it afterwards. So I think the common practice is that a family member calls up the Chevra Kadisha and arranges that they should be removed, the body should be moved, and the Chevra Kadisha does not inform them of the date that they're going to do it, and then they let them know when it is done. They let them know afterwards it's already been taken care of, and that way they don't have to observe any avelus when that happens. And in fact, that's what Yalkut Yosef Simla Minhei Ozbei says that way as well, and I'm pretty sure that is the common practice. Now the Piskei Tshuva and Sifkat and Beis quotes from a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer Yerdei Simon Shinun Hei that a woman whose husband died and she's gotten remarried and then they do Likud Atzamos on the first husband should not be misabel on the day of Likud Atzamos. Even the actual avelus of of someone who died and they're misyayished from being kover him, and then she got remarried and they find out that, and the yeush only happens, they're only misyayish after she's already gotten remarried to somebody else, even then she wouldn't be misabel. So that's the actual shiva. So kolshkin on the yom likud atzamos, which is a much lesser version of shiva, there's no, for example, there's no nicham avelim for someone's likud atzamos. They don't actually sit shiva. They just have all the restrictions of avelus. They just they're not allowed to do things that an avel is not allowed to do. We assume that the din of likud atzamos applies even if the body is in an aron. The chaznish writes in Simon Reish Yud Gimel Si'if Aleph that when they take the mace from the place where he's buried, even if he's in an Aron Shel Mateches, and they bury him in the Aron Shel Mateches, that's still called Likud Atzamos. It's only if the Aron is made out of Even that it's not called Likud Atzamos, because Even has a din of Karka. So then it's as if the person was never removed from the Karka. Of course, we don't have Aronos of metal, nor Aronos of Even. Typically, there are Aronos of metal, but we would never bury someone in that. In Geshar Chaim, in Parak Chavav, Os Dalid Os Yud Beis, says that if the Aron was moved from the first kever and buried and the Aron was buried in the second place without actually being Milaket Yatsamos, not, you didn't take out the actual physical bones from the first kever, you just took the whole box, the whole Aron, so then it doesn't have a din of Likra Yatsamos at all. So that's a significant kula, that even if the family did know, the Geshar Chaim thinks that it may not have a din of Likra Yatsamos. I don't believe that that is accepted by most poskim. I think most poskim assume, like what it says in Chasam Sofer, just not to let the family know about it. The Rush and the Ramban quote from the Evel Rabasi that a person should not be personally involved in being Malakit Atzmos Avivimo. Other people should be the ones to do it. And then Rabbi Yochanan says that you're able to be Malakit after the Basar is already fully decomposed. And the Torah says that Rabbi Yochanan is Mistaver. It also says Rabbi Lazar Tzadik was Mitzaveh, his father was Mitzaveh him not to be Malakit is Atzmos Biyadayim, but to let other people do it. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch passed. That a child should not be engaged in the Likra Tzamos. Again, the practice is the family is not involved at all. They don't go to the cemetery, they're not involved. They know the Chevra Kedisha takes care of it, and they let the people know afterwards when it's already been taken care of. But sometimes you have a situation, I had a situation recently where a body was moved to Eretz Yisrael, and the family didn't ask in advance. They didn't know in advance that you're not supposed to know. So they knew. They knew exactly when it was going to happen. So we were able to arrange that most of them wouldn't know exactly when it would happen. They knew roughly when it was going to happen, but one person who was really taking charge of the whole situation knew exactly when it was happening. So that person had to observe Avelos that day until the end of that day. So something that does come up from time to time, especially now that the world is opened up again and we're able to bury people in the proper place. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.